There was a 20th century theologian who made a remark one time. The first question to ask is not, does God exist? The first question is the universe friendly? Because if God is not for you, then nothing is on your side. But if God is for you, well, then nothing else matters. Everything appears as friendly. Christmas is a time when we think of God as on our side. You know, we've heard all those wonderful readings proclaiming that God so loved the world that he sent his only son. And that the announcement from Isaiah the prophet and the proclamation afterwards from St. Paul proclaiming that this has turned everything around, this has changed everything, it's made it possible for us to live in holiness and righteousness. But there are other times of the year when we don't feel so good. And, you know, there are two different ways that Christianity throughout history has looked at this Paschal mystery, the mystery of Christ's incarnation, his death and resurrection. And one of the predominant theories about how Christ saves us is atonement theories, that God was so hurt by our sin, or God was so angry that he demanded some kind of retribution, some kind of justice, and the only one who was able to fulfill that command was the Son of God. And so he did it for us. He died for us. We were the ones who deserved to die for our sins, but he takes our place and atones so that God isn't angry anymore. And there are a few places in Scripture that kind of support that theory, but the vast majority of the Scriptures say the opposite. And I've always wondered, how is it we get to the point where we think that God was that mad? Because Jesus seems to have come, according to the Gospels, to announce the opposite message. God isn't angry. God isn't holding your sins against you. He comes in love, not in retribution. This is a love story. It's not a revenge film. You know, we humans, we kind of like revenge films. In the first half of the film, this innocent person who is just, is just minding his own business, but the bad guys just keep beating up on him and taking advantage of him and everything. And then about halfway through the film, he finally gets mad. And he gets even. And so he destroys everyone, and there's a thrill in our hearts as we watch him get even. Okay, that's how we humans think. And so for some reason or other, we project that onto God, and we think that maybe God must think that way too. But the Scripture suggests that that isn't the way God acts, and that isn't the way God thinks. The most powerful one, the infinite, the almighty, is born in a stable, lying in a manger, in a feed trough for animals, born of uneducated, lower class parents, the son of an unwed mother. You know, we hear about them doing something that's typical of the poor. Caesar Augustus, the emperor in Rome, has enough power and authority over that part of the world to demand that they make this long trek from Nazareth up to Judea, up to Bethlehem, to enroll in for tax purposes, you know, and so that one day Jesus might be conscripted into the army, into the Roman army. That's how poor people get treated. They get tossed around, abused, and this is the kind of family that Jesus is born into. The Almighty God acts in weakness. St. Paul, later reflecting back on it, says, I realize now that in weakness, power reaches its perfection. The amazing thing about God is that he is community. He is relationship. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are constantly loving each other, pouring themselves out toward each other, laying their lives down for each other, and receiving that back from the other two. God is not so much a substance as an action. God is love. St. John's Gospel just puts it so simply, God is love. If you want to know what love is, this is it. And then Jesus invites us into a transformed kind of life in which we would act like the Son. He says, I'm not the only Son. You are sons and daughters too. And he invites us into a share in his divine life. In the same way that he shared in our humanity by taking on our human flesh, he did that so that we could be invited into a share in his divinity. This wonderful exchange of natures that we celebrate every time we celebrate the Mass, but particularly at Christmas, this holy, unbelievable, unexpected, undeserved love that comes from God simply because God is good and because God is love. During the Christmas season, we all get transformed. We get generous. We buy gifts for one another. We go to all kinds of extra trouble for each other. People travel hundreds, even thousands of miles to get together. Christmas just seems to be this motivation to act outside of our normal pattern. But I would suggest that maybe that's the pattern that we should be living all the time. That we should always be willing to go the extra mile. That we should always be willing to forgive and forget. That we would let go of our grievances and our resentments and our grudges. Get rid of Irish Alzheimer's, you know. Irish Alzheimer's is when you forget everything but the grudges. Let go of that. Because we're God's children. Because Jesus, in his incarnation, showed us what the fullness of humanity would look like. And the fullness of humanity is a person who is fully human and fully divine at the same time. Living in freedom, living in the absolute ability to lay down our lives, knowing that nobody can take it from us because we're going to live forever anyway. Risking, being vulnerable, laying ourselves out there, because so what if they take our heartbeat, they take our brain? We're going to live forever, so what difference does it make? Jesus lived a short life of 30-some years on this earth, and he suffered greatly at the end of it. But you know, that wasn't something new at the end. That was simply the fulfillment of who he always was for all eternity. He is the one who lays down his life. He is the one who risks and makes himself vulnerable. He is the one who is for others, even before himself. And we can be that too. That's our nature. That's what it means to be human. That's where we come from. That's where we're going. That's our destiny. Let's live Christmas year-round. Let's be daughters and sons of our Heavenly Father.